يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أتوج الله سبحانه وتعالى أن هز أليا ويرجي أتوج I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. And I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our person. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And the seal of all the prophets. So you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and then die unless you are Muslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By Allah's grace, we will continue our class concerning explanation for the book Bulugh al-Maram, Atonement of the Addresses, by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmahullah. And we authenticated this ahadith written in this book by Sheikh al-Albani hafizahullah as well as other well-known scholars. And today, which is Tuesday, the 10th of November 1998, which is equivalent to the 21st of Rajab for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, inshallah, we have a new subject. And for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, we should, inshallah, look in page number 206. And our chapter today, or our class today, is concerning al-Zakah. We'll be talking about the book of al-Zakah, inshaAllah. And al-Zakah means to grow or to prioritize. The word Zakah usually used in the Arabic language for something that the growth and the development of the increasing of something. And also applies the word zakah to cleanliness or purification. And when we're talking about Islamic terminology, we mean by zakah giving special rights to special individuals, giving special rights from a special person to a special people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. So the zakah is a means of purification, is a means of cleanse our heart, to purify our heart from greed, selfishness, and loving oneself. The person by giving the zakah will be great and be development to his good deeds. Because by giving this right in the property which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you earn blessings, and you earn the blessings of Allah, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his pleasure. And this zakah is obligatory, it's a must. And we're going to explain in detail must and who, and to be given to who and all these details. But in general, we're talking about zakah is a must. In the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him, tell me about the Islam. And he said that the Qitas is a unit of Allah, and it established the five fine prayers, and that he gives the obligatory charity, and that he fasts in the month of Ramadan, and he goes to Hajj if he has the means. So in this hadith, as well as a hadith, we found the word that had been mentioned to be one of the main pillars of Islam. Regardless if you have money or you don't have money, you have to expect and admit and to believe and to understand that this is obligation. And every Muslim whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave him a certain amount of property for a certain time. Okay? So it doesn't matter if you have money or not, that you have to live the zakah is a must, and that your intention should be that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the means and the ways, that you have to give it. Okay? So it's not because you don't have wealth, you don't have to know about zakah. Okay? You have to know that this is obligation. And the first hadith, inshallah, and by the way, that our class today is going to secure class number 33. Which is number 33 class in Bulugh al-Maram. The first hadith, which is hadith number 483, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معاذ radiallahu ta'ala anhu إلى اليمن. فذكر الحديث وفيه إن الله قد افترض عليهم صدقة في أموالهم تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had sent معاذ بن جبل, one of the companions, to the country called Yemen, okay, to be like a scholar, a judge, a ruler, عليه السلام. Okay, to live with them and to teach with them. And to your knowledge that this Sahabi, which Mu'adh went to Yemen in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ to give him some back to Medina until after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, after he came during the period of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq. And this is to show you the error of some people that even jumping from a state to state and city to city to person to that he doesn't believe. Okay? Is this not correct? You did not go to teach a girl for a day, for 3 days, and say this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the way of the Sahaba. The way of the Prophet and the way of the Sahaba, he will say, number one, a learned person. Not a person who just took Shahada, and you tell him, go for it for 6 days, 7 days, 30 days, 4 months. This is not correct. He needs to learn before he goes to teach and preach. Okay? Number two, the first people who used to go and sit and live with the people. Okay? Same way, like I learned the Sunnah of the Prophet when I came to America, I was the way I came to work for 5 years, this is the way I came to South Carolina, I've been here for 17, 18 years. This is the way the scholar or the learned person who go and sit and live with the people. Okay? To spend as much time with them. Okay? He actually lived there. You can say that he migrated there. Okay? And he'd be like a judge, as a teacher, as a hafiz. He doesn't go around the sun for a day and two and keep going and keep going to a city after city after city after city after city. This is not the way. So, Rasulullah SAW had sent one of the Sahaba. How many he sent Mu'adh? He didn't send, you understand, Jama'at, like this thing. We have to go in Jama'at. You don't have to go in Jama'at. If you have a scholar among you, what do you need the Jama'at for? He sent only Mu'adh ibn Jabal to the whole country of Yemen, to all the Muslims there, and he was the teacher, the judge, everything there. And from the teachings that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given him, before he leaves, he said, inform them that Allah had made a charity obligatory in them, in their property, in their money, in their wealth. They should be taken from the rich among them, and be returned back to the poor and the needy among them. So from this hadith, which is hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, which is the hadith is authentic, we understand that the zakah is obligatory. It's a must. That Allah has made obligatory for them. Okay? In their will. So this number one, we learn from the hadith that zakah is obligatory. Number two, that this wealth, or this zakah, or this obligatory charity, is what the must on those who have the wealth. Number three, where to take it? To take it to the poor. Okay? Number four, or number five, that the people of the city that you took the money out are the one who is worthy with this money. The one who deserves this money more than anybody else. So, as example, if you take the zakah as the way to do it in Colombia, you don't go and take it to Orangeburg or Charleston. You should go to cover the people in Colombia first before you take it to any other place. Because this is a mistake which some people live in the United States and they're still sending their zakah to overseas where their family is, okay? But in actuality, the proper way, you take it from the wealthy people of such location, return it back to the poor people of the same location. To be what you call ikhtifa' dhati, that means will be like a covering from in and within. Okay? How you say this in English? I know it's balanced, but that means you take it from the people themselves and return it to the same. Then that is the same, like you say, you keep the money among the Muslims. You hear these people always say that they have to keep the dollar with the Muslim among the community, not to spend it with the Kafirin. Circulate it, you see. So the same way that the person is trying to do business with the community, but the prayer not to take it out of the community, even if you're taking it for Muslims. First, you have to cover the need of the Muslims in that community that you took the money out of it. Now, if there is left over and there is needy people in other states or cities, if you don't have enough, now you can take it someplace else. Also, that when this hadith, which is not actually the whole hadith, which is the only portion of the hadith, that al-da'iyah. Thank you, sir. So what about if someone joins the charity? Charity is perfect. Charity is perfect. We don't get that. Okay. We got the hadith number 484. And if anybody would like to volunteer to read the hadith, it's fine with me. If not, I will give you in general the meaning of the hadith. But basically, the hadith is authentic. Okay? And the hadith number 485 is authentic. Okay? And let me give you in general the meaning of this hadith number 484 and 485 and hadith number 488. Okay? Right? Basically, goes like this. The explanation of this 3-4-5 hadith is behemoth al-an'am, the cattle, okay, like stock, okay, this is what you say, okay, like cow, buffalo, I don't know if you know what buffalo, no, okay, camels, sheep, everything, just a lot, that there is a zakah on these things, okay, and there is a minimum. What we call nisab. That means if you don't have such amount, you don't give the zakah. What I mean by you don't give the zakah, that means the zakah is not obligatory in you. If you want to give voluntarily, it's up to you. Okay? So if you have camels, as example, you have to have 5 camels. You have to have 5 camels for the zakah to be obligatory in you. Okay? The zakah of camels. If a person has 1 camel, 2, 3, 4, no zakah. If you want to give voluntarily, this is up to him. But when you say that you have 5 camels, okay, now the zakah is obligatory on his camels and he will give 1 share. Okay? He will give 1 okay? He doesn't go give the camel. Okay? Five camels he gives up, one sheep. Okay? If you have cows, then you start anything before 30 cows, you are not obligated. Okay? And if you have 30, now you're going to give a tabia or a follower, okay? Which is cow that 1 year old. Okay? Now, if you have sheep, you have to have 30 sheep for the cow to be obligatory on this sheep. Okay? Now, if you have 30 sheep, okay, you give 1 sheep. Is it understood? Right. This is the minimum. Now, if you have more than 5 camels, if you have more than 30 sheep, okay, if you have more than 30 cows, that it is how it goes. Now, I'm going to explain it to you. I know it's not going to be easy to memorize, but at least you have a general idea. You said the sheep, if you have 30, you give that, you give 1. So anything between 30 and 120, you will give 1 share. So you have 30 or more, and then you give 1 share. Maximum 120 sheep, you give them what? 1. 121 up to 200 sheep, you will give that 2. Sheep. Okay? You took 2 sheep out of what you got and you give it to the poor underneath. 201 will give 3 sheep. Okay? And after this, every 100 one more. Every 100 one more. Okay? Did anybody understand anything? Okay. This instead of going in details with all this hadith, and with all this means, okay, you may be going to be a little bit confused. Camel. This is the minimum that you start. Okay, the nisab, that means the amount that when you have it, now you are obligated. The nisab is what? 5 camels. And when you have 5 camels, you get that? 1. 1 share. 1 sheep. Not 1 camel. Yes. So 5 to 9, you get 1 sheep. 10 to 13, you'll get 2. 15 to 19, you'll get 3. 3 sheep. Okay? 20 camels, up to 24, you'll get 4 sheep. 36, up to 35, now you will give them a lagoon. And this, that the camel which has 2 years old. Minti lagoon, daughter of, I don't know if I can give you exactly the translation, so the daughter or baby of a milk one, that means because her mother has milk. We call it bint lagoon. Bint means daughter. Lagoon, the one has carrying milk. Okay? Now, 46 to 60, you have something written there, like a footnote?
This is the whole thing.
It's a new explanation, if you have it there. But anyway, I'll finish. If you have 61 to 75, you will give 1 camel, which is 4 years old. Okay, the same? Alright. 91 camels. Up to 120, you will give 2 huffah, 2 camels. Okay? Huffah means a deserving. That means it deserves to ride. That means that 3 years old. Because when the camel is baby, it is not ride. So they call it huffah, that means less capable to be carrying a person. Okay? Okay. You see, I explain it in my simple English, you see. This high school diploma language, so. Okay. Alright? and 121 they gave 3 camels that 2 years old. And after this, for every 30 camels additional after this, they will give the camels with 2 years old. And every 50, they will give hectare 3 years old. Now, concerning the cows, how many cows is the nisab? Remember the word nisab. What does nisab mean? Yeah? The amount that if your property, your wealth reaches this amount, so now this you call it nisab. That means a certain level. When your camel or your cows reach a certain number, or your wealth reach a certain number, the certain number just call it nisab. That means have reached that point that now the cow is obligatory in you. So the in the cows we said the nisab, how many? 30. 30 cows up to 39 you will give one tabi'a or tabi'a. That means one cow, 1 year old. Okay? 40 to 59 you will give one cow which is mutinna. That means has 2 years old. 50 cows, how much is the cow you give? You will give 2. Okay? 1 year old each. Okay? And after this, it goes with every 30, you give tabi'a, and every 30, you give mutinna. Okay? Anybody understand anything? Okay. So this was basically talks about hadith number 484, and I said the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 485, and the hadith is authentic. Okay. Hadith number 488 is Hassan, means good. And also it talks about giving the amount. Now hadith number 486, page 209. وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تؤخذ صدقات المسلمين على مياههم رواه أحمد ولأبي داود ولا تؤخذ صدقاتهم إلا في بيرهم. Okay, that means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that the sadaqah, okay, which is the proper word, the charity, okay, the sadaqah, which refers also to the obligatory charity, which is the zakah. Some people just think that the zakah is the obligatory charity and sadaqah is optional, but this is not actually the proper term. Both of them say sadaqah, okay. That the sadaqat of the Muslims are to be received at their watering point. Okay? That means the person has no written obligation on the people who bring the zakah. You have to go all the way to their houses and take the zakah from there. So the representative of the emir, of the imam, who doesn't go as a jungle and take a tent in the middle of the town and waiting for everybody to come to him with the zakah. It is his obligation to go all the way to the houses of the people and collect the zakah from there. Okay? And the explanation more here is clear. Their sadaqat are to be received only at their dwelling. Okay? You don't wait for them to bring it to you. You go and collect it. Because it's supposed to be a delegation by the head of the state, the Muslim state, the Imam or the Khalifa, to send his representative, and he will go to the Muslim to their houses and collect the zakat from them. حديث نمبر 487 وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس على المسلم في عبده حديث نمبر 488 وشربرد البلده ابن حكيم عن ابي عن جدي قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل سائمة ابن في 40 بنت لبون لا تفرق ابن عن حسابها من اعطاها مؤتجرا بها فله اجرها ومن منعها فان اخذها وشطر ماله عزمة من عزمات ربنا لا يحل لآل محمد منها شيء. حديث ذا كولكشن اوف الامام النسائي من الحاكم عند حديث الحسن الزهري سائمة الابل الثمن is the one that sits in its own walk in the field or in the desert in the mountains wherever and eat by itself that means the owner does not have to go and buy food for it. The one who gives it so every 40 of this you give a bent to Laboon. Okay, you give one camel to your girl and that is not supposed for a person to divide his poverty trying to escape but mean don't try to blaze with to get away from the zakah. Okay? And the person who gives the zakah willingly holding the reward and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had fulfilled the obligation of Allah and he had obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and established this part of his deen. The person who tries to blow through to avoid paying the zakah, in actuality he is destroying the deen. That means he is not establishing the deen in himself because he tries to escape from the obligation. This obligation which Allah made it on him, plus this is the right of the poor and the needy people, the right of the members of the community. Okay? So now he is not establishing the deen in himself and also he is hurting the community by denying or establishing or denying or stopping paying the zakah. And as a result of this, the imam has the right to take the zakah from him forcefully as well as making a punishment by taking more. Okay? We're talking about the imam. When we refer to imam in hadith, we're referring to the head of the Islamic state. We're not talking about five, six brothers get together and look to somebody from imam and that's a good life. He tells them, you do this, you do this, everybody here and obey. And if you disobey now, you go to hell fire. Okay? Or the imam of the masjid, he has 500, 600 people, now he became the imam. He's the imam to read the Quran, he's the imam to teach them, to give them advice, all these things. But when we're talking about the imam has the right to punish people, or to put certain restriction on them, or to put them in punishment, we're talking about the imam, the head of the state. Or the emir, which is the imam of the state, has put him as his representative to act in his behalf. Okay? As example, the imam of the Muslimin all over the Muslim Ummah. And now he sent for each state a delegation. One or two people to take care of business. And this person who will vote in each city or each town a representative. Okay? Those are the imams that we have to obey. As long as we commanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded in his book. And what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded in his book. And those people have the right to get punishment on the Muslims who break the law. Regardless of the break the small, minor thing or major thing, regardless if you commit something major haram or something minor haram. And you can punish them by the punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. But if it is no special punishment for such a crime, the imam has the right to inflict the punishment on him, but not to exceed or to match any other punishment than described by Allah or his messenger. You understand? As example, he may lash him 5 lashes. Maybe he gives him a financial punishment by asking him to pay $50 as a punishment for whatever he did. Okay? So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who gives the prayer willingly, he had established the deen of Allah. And the one who tried to blow them and divide his animals here and there and try to blow tricks, so now I don't have enough to pay the zakah, I only have 5 camels, I have 40 sheep and all the things, okay? Now the imam has the right to go and take it firstly from him, plus take more. What is the more for? As a punishment for him. Okay? So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for 40 basking camels, one sheep camel in her 3rd year is to be given. Okay? Out of how many? 30. You give one. The camels are not to be separated during the counting process. Okay? You don't have to blow good. I run here and the try to do this here or this one. To somebody to break the bite and all this stuff. He who pays the zakah with intention of getting reward will be rewarded. If anyone who pays the zakah, we shall, okay, we shall, we here, the Islamic state, the government, shall take it together with half of his property as a due of this and this by our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The exalted. There is no share in it for the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the Prophet and his family not to take the charity. Because as I explained before, the charity of the Muslim is considered filth. Okay? This is a means for them to clean their sins. Like somebody taking a shower and this water coming out of him, taking the filth and the sweat in his body. So the money that the rich person paying it is obligation on him, but it is a means also to purify him, to cleanse him from his sin and his, what you call, to cleanse him from the love of the money and things like this. The greed, okay? To cleanse him. So, this affair, this money is coming, is considered like a means to cleanse something, okay? So, it's taking the faith with it, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his family, we are in a higher rank to be receiving the faith of the human being. So the charity and the zakah is forbidden for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as his family. From the tribe of Hashim, the Al-Abbas, Ali, Ja'far, Al-Aqawil, Al-Harith, Ibn Abdul Muttalib. All this is the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all this related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his cousin, his uncle, the people, his nephews, all those are the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not supposed to pay the zakah of the people. Yes, until today. And the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the descendants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will know. And those people have been taught from birth that they are related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? You said some people call them Sayyid, okay? The next hadith is hadith number 489. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كانت لك 100 درهم وحل عليها الحول ففيها 5 دراهم وليس عليك شيء حتى يكون لك 20 دينارا وحال عليها الحول ففيها 1/2 دينار فما زاد فبحساب ذلك وليس في مال زكاة حتى يحل عليه الحول. This hadith is صحيح موقوف. And the narration which the writer may be also is صحيح موقوف. Okay. This shows you the amount of the zakat concerning gold and silver. Okay? To translate it to the modern terminology, okay, that for gold it has to be 20 dinar, 20 dinar, which is equivalent to 85 gram. I'm sure everybody knows what's gram, huh? So, if somebody digits the amount of 85 gram gold, doesn't matter what shape, pieces, one piece, if you have 85 grams that you possess, stay in your position for 1 year, you have to get 2.5% of this amount. Okay? In the past. Alright? Concerning the silver, 595 grams. Now again, doesn't matter. It's the silver. Pieces, or one chunk, the journey, whatever. If you do this, 595 grams of silver, you have to get 2.5% of it if 1 year has passed over it. The same thing will apply to waste, that means money. Okay? The same thing will apply to the money. Maybe you're going to have gold, that you have money, okay? The money that you possess today, okay? You have to give the zakah of it also. How do you know how much? Is that you go to the market and ask the people who are selling gold how much 85 grams of gold today? You may tell you $1,100, $1,200, $1,500, because you know the price of these things goes up and down. So when the year elapsed, when you come over your schedule, now the day that you're supposed to be given as the pass, you go to the market, ask them, how much the gram today? $10, $15, whatever it is, to multiply the price of 1 gram by 85, so now they will give you the nisab. So if the nisab is $1,000, $1,200, now, if you have $1,200 in that day, or more, you get 2.5% of it in the cash. You understand? And basically, with the meaning of these two hadith. The hadith number 490 talks about the cattle or the cows that we use for working, like cultivation. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. That means if you have 80 grams of gold, now you are not obligated to give. If you want to give something voluntarily, alhamdulillah. But when it's something that you have to do now, is a must. If you have 85 grams and more, So now we will get 2.5% of what? 85, let's say the 85 grams of gold today is equal to $1,500. Now you have $2,000 in your house sitting for a whole year. You get 2.5% of 1,500 or 2,000, you get 2.5% of 2,000. Okay? That means we'll be back to about $50. That's it. For the $2,000.
You have to have this $2,000 for the whole year before the fluctuates, like $500, $600.
No. No, it has to be when you start a whole year. Yes. You start to keep going down, up and down, up and down. You're going to have, like, to lock up this method in a certain amount, going, start from $1,200 is my method, and this $1,200 is going to remain $1,200 or more for a whole year. Yeah. So the second hadith, which is also sahih, mawquf, which number 490, وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه ليس في البقر العوام الصدقة. This sound that you use it for cultivation, okay, working, breaking the land and all these things, there is no صدقة in it. That means no صدقة in it. It's only used to do your work. Hadith number 491, عن عمرو بن سعيد عن أبي عن جده عبد الله بن عمرو أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال to the end of the hadith, and the hadith is not authentic. The hadith is weak, we leave it alone. Page 212, hadith number 492, وعن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاه قوم بصدقتهم قال اللهم صل عليهم متفق عليه. Then this hadith reported by Abdullah Ibn Abi Awfa, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make supplication, dua, for the people who bring the sadaqah. Okay? And he used to say, Allahumma salli alayhim. Okay? Oh Allah, send your blessings on them. Allahumma salli ala al-Mustafa, Allahumma salli ala al-Khadija, Allahumma salli. So whoever brings the sadaqah, say, oh Allah, send your blessing on the family of so-and-so. And if he shows you also that, you can say, Allahumma salli ala so-and-so, not only on the Prophet. Okay? And if you use the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for the people who make the sadaqah by saying, Allahumma salli alayhim. Oh Allah, send your salah on them, your blessing. That means, oh Allah, forgive them, oh Allah, be merciful to them, oh Allah, bless them. This is mean the salah. So Allah send your salah and send your blessing. Hadith number 493, وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي أن العباس سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تعجيل صدقته قبل أن تحل فرحت له في ذلك. رواه الترمذي والحاكم الحديث حسن. That علي reported that العباس may Allah be pleased with him, he asked permission from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم to give his zakah in advance before it's time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he permitted him to do this. That means the permissibility of that you give your zakah in advance. Even to have now this hadith is talking about a different type of item that is supposed to give the salafah or the zakah in it. We talk about the fatal, and we talk about the gold and the silver and the money. Okay, so this is another type. This is the food, wheat and barley, rice and things like this. In general, what you call beans and rice and things like this, and vegetables. Okay. You have to understand that there is two types of cultivation. There is something the tree itself gets watered, irrigated by itself, natural, by rain, okay, by snow coming down, or that the root itself, because it's closer to the river, it will touch the water. And there is other kind of trees and cultivation that the people have to use machinery, okay, to cultivate. So, in the sense which doesn't need any effort of a human being, no machinery, no anything. Rains come, and this is the way how the next thing you go and get your fruit or get your vegetables, whatever. Okay? You give 1/10. You give 1/10 of your harvest. But if you use your hand and machinery, you will give 1/2 of 1/10. Do you understand this now? And you know why is the difference? The difference because there is, sometimes you have to rent even the machine. Sometimes maybe even you have to rent the machine and hire some people to reduce or to water the plant. Okay? So now you spend the money. The difference from somebody who doesn't spend any money. And rain always coming and all you have to go and collect the fruit in the end of the year or the season as it is. Okay? So if you join some effort or machinery or whatever it is, you give 1/10 of what you have. Okay? 1/10, if it's the rain, the snow, the river, reduce it. If you use your hand and you put in effort, you give what? 1/10 of what you have. Okay? So that means when you make an effort and you spend the money, you then waste the cash. Is this understood? Okay? Clear? Alright. The amount concerning food, beans, whatever it is, it's 600 ways, instead of 500 which is equivalent to the modern weight, 612 kilograms. Kilo is equivalent to 2 pounds and something, little bit, okay, just only to get 50 plus. But if you wanted to know exactly how much, you need to look in one of this schedule or calculation. It tells you what is a kilo. But we used to use kilo in Egypt and we use that, so I said that it's almost like 2 pounds and some. Okay? So that means we're talking about almost like 1,300 pounds. You could be your massage of your harvest and your cultivation. This now you have to go to the prayer. Finish. Hadith, and this hadith, which is number 494, the hadith is authentic. And anything less than this, okay, there is no zakah. So the nisab is khamsat awasit, and I told you what it is. Now, hadith number 495 is explaining the same thing that we just talked about it. فيما سقط السماء والعيون أو كان عشريا العش وفيما سقط بالنفس نصف العش. Okay? And the hadith is authentic and talks about different methods of irrigation, when to use machinery and when the rain and the river. Okay, the one with the rain and the river you give 1/10, and the one that you use machinery you give 1/10. Hadith number 496, 213, reported by Abu Sa'id al-As'ari, Abu Musa al-As'ari, wa Mu'adh radiyallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala lahuma, la ta'khudha fi sadaqa illa min hadhihi al-asnaf al-arba'a, al-sha'ir, wal-hinta, wal-jabib, wal-tam. Okay? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Musa al-As'ari and Mu'adh, don't collect any sadaqa except from these four kinds: barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. Okay? The hadith is authentic. So, the note or the statement came specifically concerning four things. Alright? So, as example, if somebody has watermelon, does he have to give the test? No. But should he? He's making money. Okay? But he could not say no, you have to, or otherwise you get the whole fire. Okay? There is a specific thing that you will repair in it. Apple. Everything. Okay? But in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Quran wa atu haqqahu wa mahatari. This in general. The understanding of the scholars also. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 267. Please record the verse and read it again. 267. يَا أَيَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا أَنْفُقُوا مِنْ سَيِّدَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخَذْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِينَ إِلَّا أَنْ تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Okay? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you believe, send from the good of what you have earned and from what you paid the earth to give. Okay? And this will be in general. And this color, the other one, basically concerning certain issues in the affair, that a certain Muslim has to learn how to be generous, kind, considerate, thinking about the other people. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us the likeness of the believer in the way how you love one another, care for one another, assist one another, like one body. When one member suffers, that the whole body will be suffering as a result of this. But basically, this is the type of food that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it to be obligatory, the charity in it: barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. The second part of the same hadith, which started in page number 214, al-Darqutni, this part is weak. So please mark that this part is weak. Okay? Talking about the watermelon and Chinese apple, sugar cane, and everything. Hadith number 497 is weak. Hadith 498 is weak. We go to page number 215. Page 215. Let's review this again because Talib missed it. In page 213, because it's very important to mark this thing, this narration is weak. Run by Barak Atmayi, first 234 lines. And even if say, narrator is weak. Hadith number 497 is weak. Hadith number 497 is weak. Hadith number 498 is weak. Okay. 498 is weak. Okay. The English is the other. Okay. 498 is weak. Let's go to page 2116, hadith number 499. وعن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جدي أن امرأة أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومع ابنة لها وفي ابنتها نصفتان من ذهب فقال لها أتعطين زكاة هذا؟ قالت لا. قال أيسرقي أن يصورك الله بهما يوم القيامة سوارين من النار؟ فألقت هما رواه ثلاثة في الحديث الحسن بجارة الداي عمرو بن سعيد كم الصادر كم الزعترة الزوج لأن صادر لكي يوم كنت تتفاكت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم and her daughter has two bangles. Ankle bracelet, hand bracelet, whatever you call it, okay? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked her, do you give the zakah on this? She said, no. So are you going to be happy that Allah will replace you with them bracelet from fire in the day of judgment? So the woman said then, so she heard this and she threw them away. Okay? So we understand from this hadith that even the jewelry, if you have it for decoration, I mean for you to use, it says that you have to give the fairness of a rich genocide. So bless your earrings, bless your ankle bracelet, bless your necklace, bless but everything together. And as you reach 85 grand, you have to give the fair. Okay? حديث نمبر 500 عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها كانت تلبس أوضاعا من ذهب فقالت يا رسول الله أتنجم هو فقال إذا أديت زكاته فليس بتن okay. This أم سلمة يلا بيجي بهير she used to wear bangles or ankle bracelets whatever you call bracelets out of gold. She asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is this considered as a treasure to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because Allah سبحانه وتعالى had warned in Quran those people who save gold and silver and they don't spend it in the cause of Allah. Okay? That in the day of the judgment that will be made like pieces and will be used as iron. The iron of your forehead, okay, and your side. So she would try to know, being having this gold, is this considered a treasure that she saved in the gold and that this will apply to her about she's not given? She could be left with the Prophet asked her, do you give it to the past? If you give it to the past, that is not a treasure. That means it's okay to wear it as long as you give him the zakah. And the hadith is Hasan. Hadith number 501. That means 501. The hadith is weak. Hadith reported by Samra. The hadith is weak. Hadith number 502. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله عليه وسلم يطر تاج الخمس this page number 216 حديث number 502 reported by أبي هريرة in the collection of الإمام البخاري and الإمام مسلم رحمة الله عليه وسلم so the hadith is authentic that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he said Repairs, he gave one ticket of it. Repairs is whatever that you found it buried down in the ground without knowing who the owner. You go buy a piece of land or the government gives you a piece of land and you dig in and you found like a treasure or you found whatever it is, gold. So the zakah of this you give it immediately. Okay? And how you give the zakah of it? You give one fifth of what you found in the earth. Whatever it is. And the rest is yours. Okay? Hadith number 503 عن عمرو ابن سعيد عن أبي عن جدي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في كنز وجده رجل في خربة إن وجدته في قرية مسكونة ما تعرفه وإن وجدته في قرية غير مسكونة ففيه في الرساج الخلف. The man had found a treasure in the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the man, if you found it in uninhabited places, a place where nobody was living, in the city, you know, like ancient places, and nobody used to be people living there, and we're talking about centuries, years and hundreds of years. You see the gun and this is like in the middle of nowhere. And somebody did it and he found this thing. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you found it in a place which inhibition and there is people living around, because maybe somebody went and he hid it there. So you have to announce about it for a whole year. Okay? Before you use it. You don't say exactly what it is, but you say, I found a treasure. And if it belongs to anybody, you bet it in the newspaper, you bet it, understand, announce it in the marketplace, wherever, whatever the means that you use at that time. And the person, if somebody bet it there, he will say, yes, it's mine. He will give you some sign. Like, say, it's a gold, it's about 5 pieces, each piece about 2 pounds. Okay, he will give you some kind of indication that you will know that it's big. Your description. He's not going to tell you a silver and it's gold. He's not going to tell you the 5 pieces and the only 1 piece, okay? So you will ask him what it looks like. So if you found this treasure in a place where it is close by living area, you have to announce it. And if you found it in a place which nobody living there, now you will take it and do it and you give the fifth of it as the fact. Last hadith, hadith number 504, and the hadith is weak, and basically that is what in the book of Bulugh al-Maram concerning the fact. Inshallah, we're going to be making a start soon, maybe after 3-4 classes. We're going to try to finish until Al-I'tikaf. And after this, we're going to stop because basically we'll do Ramadan. So we have that Sadaqat al-Fitr and Sadaqat al-Tatawwa and Qasm al-Sadaqat. This will be one class, inshallah. And after this, will be the Qiyam, the fasting, which will take another, at least, one class. And after this we talk about the optional fasting, which will be the third class. And the fourth class will be about the I'tikaf. Okay? During Ramadan. So we're talking about 4 classes more than approximately 1 month. And after this we'll give you a break for Ramadan. And we'll meet after 8 weeks, and we'll start about Hajj, inshallah, to prepare for Hajj. So, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding, the proper understanding concerning His deen, give us the tawfiq and the guidance that we practice, inshallah. Does anybody have any comments, any correction, anything that was not clear that, yes, sir?
I have a question about this.
Okay. Things which you first find it, we call it minor things. Okay? $5 and $10 and $20. Okay? This is not a treasure. And the way how it's positioned, it sounds that you never saw a treasure before. Treasure, brother, when you don't live here anymore, you go live in California, on a bomb tree, under bomb tree, okay, having an onshore and all these things. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars, brother. The small things that we keep, we found it on the ground. Okay, pennies and nickels and dimes, dollars and five and $10, you can take it. If somebody around you can ask, if not, take it and keep work. This is what we call the minor things that general common person doesn't care too much for it. Okay? But if something that you found it not hidden under the ground and it's so big, it is your obligation that you identified it, announced it for a whole year before you use it. Okay? If somebody, as an example, he found $5,000, $10,000 in the envelope, cash, this is not true. You have to make announcement that a sign under this tree or this electric bowl, I found some money, if it's yours, call me in such and such. Make an ad on the newspaper for a whole year. Nobody comes to it, it's yours. No, the Muslim doesn't speak like this. Only some lawyers, some companies, who write a big thing and after this small, small writing, you cannot even read it. No, the Muslim doesn't do this. Yes. You have a question?
You said in a few had arrows.
Yes.
Well, if, suppose if an arrow and he turns into arrow where he's getting arrow punished, first of all, for 10 years.
So every 100 gallons of gumball, that's because you don't have a meter over the pump, okay? So you know how much is coming out. Exactly, yes. Because, so on every 1,000, you get one-fifth of this. Yeah. And we pray that Allah will give us a treasure, inshallah, if it's going to be good for us. But sometimes you get a treasure and you blow your being with this treasure. Yeah. Yes. Again.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What
if you have to put it inside, inside on a sofa? There is something that you have, like, it's not a food or clothes or a certain item. Maybe you put it on a sofa or... Okay.
Or a
sofa? No. Things which you use. Okay, as example, somebody has a car, maybe $15,000, $20,000. Some people will buy a car for $50,000, okay? So this is the thing that you use for your own so-called personal use. The house that you live in it, it maybe even cost $200,000, but it's still a house. Somebody has a house for $500 in a trailer house, and somebody has a house on the lake house, and in the lake side, and $200,000. Both of them, you have houses, and this person has a car for $500, and this has it for $50,000. Okay? So this personal thing that for personal use, you don't give a zakat on it. Even if it's more than 85 grams of gold in the den. In the name of this. Any other question? Okay, JazakAllah khairan. Our classes from now on is after Salat al-Isha, inshallah. We want to close early today, and subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you for coming.